for hanging around at 4:24 in the afternoon. My name's Darren McKenney. I was actually probably more suited to one of tomorrow's themes, but unfortunately I couldn't present on a Thursday, and I asked if they could move me to a Wednesday because I've just flown down this morning and I go back this evening. And so that's why I'm sort of here in the, I think it's accessibility theme is what they've got me in today, later in the afternoon as well. I'm an Aboriginal fella. My traditional country is Gamilaroi country. I've born and bred but on a Wabigal country, which is known as Newcastle in New South Wales. My family's lived there for about 70 years now, and well, that's my other home, if you can say. I've grown up like, well, maybe like yourselves, I speak English. I've been through the education system in the 70s and 80s as an Aboriginal fella and also as an Australian. As you can see, I'm fair skinned. I've got background from a couple of different places and that. But never ever, probably maybe like your own school experiences, never ever hearing anything about Aboriginal anything. I don't know if you have been watching SBS lately. There's a show on there called First Australians, and we applaud SBS and Rachel and her crew for what she's been doing, but it's just a tip of an iceberg. But it's great because we need to get to that part there to help let people know, because Aboriginal people, we are a very caring and sharing and friendly lot, and it's like it's what's ours is yours. You're living in this country, our culture can actually be part of your culture. Our languages are your languages. You're speaking Aboriginal languages yourself now. I don't know if you know that or not, but I know the people in Newcastle speak Aboriginal. You speak Aboriginal through different things. The Victorians here can speak Aboriginal. I don't know if... Is anyone here from or heard of a place called Tongue in Victoria? How about Geelong? Tongue. That's that. That's the word for tongue in their language there. And language is scattered everywhere. And one thing I don't know is why they named Geelong Tongue, or that area is... I don't know, but... language helps us live on country, it helps us survive on country and so forth. Today, for us, it's also one of our most important forms of identity. It's actually our first form of identity now. Look at me. You don't see no black fella up the front. I'm not that in that way, but I'm a very strong Aboriginal person. And just like if you were to go to Europe or go to Asia, probably one of the first ways you would ever be able to identify where someone is from is actually how they speak, their accent and the language which they speak. Put in an Italian, Spanish, French person, three fellas all standing next to, or ladies all standing next to one another. It's not till they open their mouth and speak where you know who they are and where they're from. And then you know what their customs and their traditions are. And Australia has over 250 Aboriginal nations, over 250 languages, traditions, customs, and so forth. I'm going to tie this into making links into technology and so forth and that, and it's probably a bit of a journey which I'll just take you on. But like I said, hey, this is afternoon, and I'm not going to... There won't be no standards, stress out, make you think and answer stuff, okay? what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit back and play some of the things, because I think... this is where we're going. We're talking about, I'm going to be talking to you about most probably the world's oldest languages, the world's oldest cultures here in this country here. Yous are a part of it. Yous are smack bang in the middle of all of this. And what we've got is the theme of my talk is modern ways for ancient words. We've got the old meeting up with the newest culture which exists today, which is technology. And as you may be aware, technology for us especially, is unbelievably important. We've got our elders, our speakers, our knowledge holders passing away every day. If in your own work, you may know that there's an unfortunate statistic which says that Aboriginal people have the lowest life expectancy of any race of people living in Australia, unfortunately. So as every one of our people pass away at such an early age, my father's 64 and he's supposed to have gone in his early 50s. You know, I'm very lucky that he's still around, but that's how it is. Like I was saying earlier, you'll be able to put my story into your own area where you're working with, or if you're looking at how to maybe engage with Aboriginal people within your own community and that, hopefully we've got something where we can just stimulate some thought and vision with yourself there. So this is something we've worked with Microsoft Australia. I've worked with Microsoft in the community side of things for the last 8 years with finding ways of empowering Aboriginal people themselves to use technology there. And our big carrot is language. That's what we do in Newcastle. We're the Aboriginal Language Centre. We've been working on reviving the probably one of the first lost languages in Australia. And the language area is called Awabakal. And in Newcastle, we had the first Aboriginal mission in Australia. In 1824, it commenced on the shores of Lake Macquarie. For those from Newcastle, it's where the Gunya Hotel actually is today. And first language, could say lost, but also the first language ever recorded by a fella back then in the 1830s. It was recorded and stopped being recorded in around 1854 is when he passed away, I think it was. We haven't had speakers since the 1890s. Doesn't mean that we don't want to still speak the language today. Myself and a couple of other Aboriginal people there back at home, we're sitting around one day and we're all talking English. We have done educational talks to school kids, education institutions like universities, and to teachers, to tourists. We've had disabled groups come to our property, which is out at Garden Suburb there, and do tours on bush tucker and education and everything. And we're sitting there and we're talking in English. We're telling about our dreamings in English, and we're explaining this is the sandpaper fig and this is the lemon myrtle, and we're doing all this stuff in English. We're saying the word boomerang, which I should be saying the word taramara. I'm talking about kangaroos when I should be actually calling them mawani. Different 250 languages around the country, and we miss out on all of that stuff. So we said, hey, we've got to start speaking our language once again so we can relate things and about country and that. And that's where we come about after doing it for 2 years. When we started in 2000, we got told by a non-Aboriginal academic, they've got a title called linguist. I don't know if you're familiar with what a linguist does, but they're into languages. And we got told by linguists that Aboriginal people cannot revive their language. You need linguists to do that. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, it's our language. First off, I speak English. My kids were six and whatever at the time there, and they were fluent English speakers, yet they've never been in contact with a linguist before. Hadn't even gone to school at that point in time, but they were speaking English, and they were very good at it. So we got told, can't do it. In line with being told, they were also part of a review which told our government funding body, we recommend that these people don't get any more funding because they're not using academics to do their work. And we were just like in uproar and, okay, we don't have academics, we can't do this work, but how do we do it? And the reason was is that we weren't empowered with the right tools. Our subject was language, but there was nothing there to help us, to empower us to do language work. All of the computer programs which we discovered around the world were all aimed at the linguists. And we thought, well, no wonder they're so damn good at doing this stuff. They've got the tools. They've got the universities and everyone else behind the scenes backing them and helping create ways of using computers, technology, to do their work with languages. Yet us, we weren't. So we went about and actually developing our own computer program to empower our people to do this work. Nevertheless, I'll stop there and we'll, like I said, I'll go a bit left field. Here's a bit of a story which sums up and shows you what we've done. This was actually used for a competition which Microsoft had last year, where there's about 360 community access centres all around the country. Smith Family, Work Ventures, the Australian Seniors Computer Association, the Inspire Foundation, and some other people are all involved with this. Like I said, 300 plus communities. Oh, Smith Family, Work Ventures. Yeah, I said all of those, and so forth. Anyway, we entered the competition, and we didn't win it. We come second with our work. First prize was a trip to India for 7 days. We got an Xbox. But anyway, this is it, and hopefully this all... I was up midnight last night still doing this.
There are over 250 indigenous languages in Australia. Every 2 weeks, one native language somewhere in the world is lost. Australia is most at risk in losing native languages. We need to empower our native language workers and speakers to use technology now to stop the language loss. This is our mission. Now you will see part of our journey.
We've been travelling from Cape York all the way down to Geelong, going out to communities. This is up, like what I said, Townsville Way. The people in the back with their arms crossed were actually at the computers later on. When we go out to our communities and do this type of thing, I actually travel with 8 laptop computers and all of the gear that we need, audio recorders, little cameras and the microphones and everything. And basically it's the first time the majority of these people are actually going to a computer. All this stuff was just, this here was just made using PhotoStory, a free program which anyone can download, put on your computer, and no matter what your area you're working in, people can make this. And it's like, I think tomorrow is the day when there's, I don't know how many times I've seen digital storytelling on the agenda tomorrow. This is that stuff as well. And still photos being used here and some music in the background, and everything comes to life. But it's, sorry? It was a song which was made at our national conference in 2007, and it was, I can't tell you the translation of it, but it's just a lot of different languages all saying hello.
Hi, my name
the one singer.
Thank you for viewing part of our journey. Our mission continues. and so do our peoples to keep our native languages alive. Noa nura.
This is where we look at this as, like the theme of this conference is making links. And it's working out in your own area. I look at it in my way is how do you strengthen making links with community and taking advantage of technology to help do with that? Because as we know, technology is empowering our people. No matter what they're doing and what area of community they're from, it's unbelievable. Look, I come across traveling around the country. So many people they come to our training sessions. They got their digital camera with them. Great, they're using digital because you hardly can buy film anywhere now. But one of the first things they say to us is, "It's full, and I don't know what to do now." It's like, what do they do? That stuff is not happening out there. It's just giving people the basic skills. And like, we show them this and we've got them doing these an hour or two later. And they're just like, wow. And the thing is that they hate computers. They hate the mouse. They don't like Windows. They don't like any of that stuff. But, because normally when they've been in front of a computer, they've gone to do training for training's sake. They've gone and learned Word because for some reason they were told Word's going to help them do stuff. Or they've gone and learned Publisher because Publisher's... they're actually... What it is finding ways of how these people can learn technology without them knowing. It's that indiscreet way. It's dangling those carrots. Like, we do a lot with family history, helping, working with the people from the Stolen Generation and just people in general, and all of a sudden they're doing photo stories of their family and it's like, get me to a computer. They can't wait because they've now got a need for using technology. And this is where our part is. It's like I said at the beginning, you can relate what we do in your own way. Our field is languages and it's one of the big carrots which we've got. But it is also one of the most important things to us, and we think to you as well. Take language away, and we've lost a lot. Anyway, I can get emotional when I go on that part, but I don't know what that black screen's going to do when I click on it, so I might skip that. When we first started in 2002, and it's like, 2000, and we were told by that linguist that, they're not doing much. This is our language. We found it. We found one of those old books from, it was printed in the 1850s there, of the Awabakal language. And we gathered it, and we put it all in this spreadsheet. And we're pretty proud of this. There it is here. It's got... The Aboriginal, the English translation, which was back then. And I'm telling you, this is a lost language. The book which was published was actually called An Australian Grammar. It was the first in-depth published book of an Australian language in Australia. It was the first one ever which had an in-depth study made on it. And, we're looking through this and we're just going, unbelievable. Awatar Bawumba, a place where wallabies live. What does that mean to us? Well, that place wasn't just for they lived there. That was also, for those people who could, that was also a food source. It was a source for warmth. There was the tendons out of the back of the wallabies and the kangaroos we used to wrap our spearheads and our axe heads on our tools. And so it's like language, Awatar Bawumba, just doesn't tell me, oh, that's a nice pretty name for that place. It tells me an awful lot more. And this is where how language is important. The only place in Australia, I've been told this, okay, I don't know if it's true or not because I'm not in this particular field, but I was told that back then, when Europeans first came to Australia, the only place that coal was found on the surface, above ground, sitting there in all daylight, was in Newcastle. Newcastle was the first place where coal was found in Australia. first place it was mined, the first ships which left the country with coal on it left from Newcastle. There's a word which we have called Nicanbar. Nican is black rock. Bar at the end means place of. The top of Lake Macquarie is Australia's largest saltwater lake. Nicanbar was the name for that area, that land all around there. And guess what's still found there today? Coal. Sitting on the, you go for a walk at the bush, you see coal here, coal there, coal mines everywhere in Newcastle and the Hunter Valley. And that. How important is that word and the knowledge which is behind that to Australia? It's one of our biggest exports. Newcastle is one of the biggest, well, it's the biggest coal export place in the whole of Australia, as far as I'm aware. But how, you know, what has that done for Australia, that itself? So it's like, there's lots of stuff in language. There's a lot of knowledge and so forth. It's not just, let's learn the language. Hey, we could save this place up there from bushfires and houses burning down and the drought. Don't talk about drought with me. The secrets for looking after this country is in Aboriginal languages. Language is not just a thing to speak. You speak English. What's in all of the English words which you have? It's knowledge. What's in all of the Aboriginal languages? All the Italian, the French, the it's knowledge of how to live and be as one on that country. And that's exactly what's happening is that at the moment, 250 nations are losing their languages and we're losing how to live on country. But anyway, that's that. Sorry. They'll be wondering what's going on in there. Okay.
I just wanted to ask you, how much of the language is still known? I mean, it's still spoken.
Yeah. In our Newcastle place, it's not being spoken. I can say to you now, Kei Ngatawa Darinta. Hello, my name is Darren. Try and have a conversation. I can't go much further than some of the small things. I can tell you that, our name for kangaroo is Mawani. For those people from Newcastle, there's a suburb called Katara. Shopping centre. Everyone knows Katara, that's where the shopping centre is there. Actually, it should be pronounced Katara, which actually means fighting stick. We've got those other suburbs, Boolaroo, Boorigool, and Taralba, and all that stuff is all over. There's just a little small evidence. I'll go through and So this is where all of our language has been, in this wonderful Excel spreadsheet, but we were told no go. Sorry, not good enough. No one out there to help us. Now remember earlier I said that we actually had to develop our own. And this is what it is. Miramar is our word for saved. Okay, we only ever discovered the word for saved when we went searching for a word for this thing which we'd made. So I'm going to start it up. I'm going to show you how this is actually what we've come across. If for those people that have ever worked with Indigenous people or Aboriginal people, and when I refer to Indigenous, I actually mean Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I'm not Indigenous, I'm Aboriginal. Or if you intend on working with Indigenous people, there's a lot of understanding initially. It's protocols and understanding the systems which are our own family relationship structures and order of elders and all sorts of things there, but this is our language is locked up, it's all secure. Don't try and guess my password. As you can see, I'm going into a secure area. But what I'm going to show you is something here. Has anyone heard of the Connecting Up conference, which is also held in Brisbane this year? We actually won the Australian award for under the Connecting Up thing for best software for developed by a not-for-profit organisation or something. That was we actually won that award there this year, which we're pretty proud of. And this is the program which won that award. I'm not going to get technical, like I said, or any of this type of stuff. What I want to do is show you something. Oh, I know what that video, that little thing was back there, which I missed a click on. But any, you see there, look, there's all, a lot of stuff, okay? But I'm going to type in this. So what do you see there? You've seen the emu. That's what it, yeah, okay. So what we've done is that our languages aren't written. Our languages are oral. They're visual. And what's very special about what we've done is we've added this type of thing to our program here, which helps bring our languages alive. So there's that word up the top that was actually found in, even though it says 83 over there, it was recorded in about 1826 or 27, this particular word. And so our languages are coming a lot. Now, this is when our people get excited because of those. They can go out on country, they can go out fishing, take photos. Oh, look at the fish we caught this today. We got the brim and, oh, hang on, we've actually got the word for brim, mokara. Oh, look at that. We can add that all into this and so forth. For those people who actually deal in multicultural areas and so forth, this program has been designed around Aboriginal languages. I'm telling you that there's not a... this is a very user-friendly and easy program. It's not being used anywhere. There's nothing like it which exists internationally. This program is currently being used to help maintain the Native American languages. It's actually, we've started to work with those people, about five of those Native American languages which are starting to use technology themselves. And if you were working with Italians or French, you can actually change that word awabical up there and say French, and you could actually start doing this for your French language if you wanted to. We don't tell government that because that's who funds us to do this, to do it for Aboriginal languages. But that's that. And if I was in a different audience and so forth, I'd go into this a bit more. That program, or see this word list here I showed you in Excel, that is all now sitting in here in a much different way. You can see that there's images and so forth. I'm not going to do it here now, because look, it's nearly 5 o'clock already. I actually could, and I've done this. I did this at the Open Road Conference earlier this year. Adele up the back actually witnessed it, so hopefully she can vouch for me. This here is our actual dictionary. And the thing about this dictionary is it's full of pictures. Okay? I can, from this program here, I'm dead set serious, within 3 minutes, have it all sitting in a Word document, ready to print out with pictures and all the language there ready to go in 3 minutes, easy. That's the type of thing which we've developed here, and these are the type of things which we go out and... Yeah, this is where people sort of get excited. We actually get to print a dictionary, to publish a dictionary. Normally our people or whoever it is, they've got to go off to professionals. They do actually have to talk to linguists and pay big, big dollars to have them do this type of stuff. What we're doing is finding a way of empowering our people. In our situation, it's Aboriginal people who are interested in language and their culture to do that. No matter what area you're in yourself, it's what is that thing which we can do to help empower those people? Web 2 technologies is all about social networking, getting communities from all around back together again is the way I look at it. Yeah, that's one of those things. That's one of those other carrots. Yeah, building Joomla or Drupal websites and so forth. That was that window before. So, like, I show you this, and people get excited. But actually, they don't get excited over this because this is just a book. And we've had books in front of us. Today, it's that which gets people excited. There's that wallaby, bulbong. Bulka, yeah, for the back of the hand. I don't know what type of bird that is, but that's that bird. I'm not a bird fella. But this is the type of thing which gets people excited. This is all just done in Photo Story again. If we wanted to, we could have had the words as being pronounced behind the scenes and that. But this is the stuff which empowers people. And like, if people want to connect with kids, because that's reality, is that's probably where the majority of our problems are at the moment, is how do we connect with our kids? And one way of being able to do that type of thing is using technology in these types of ways, because our kids don't want this. Our kids want access to computers, Xboxes. Well, we got one because we won. PlayStations. That's what they're after. Yeah, they're after these type of things and so forth. So that's good stuff. It's so easy. So I'm hoping someone tomorrow also shows. Yeah, it's like I've already could think of things with the different areas which you're in and so forth and that. And here's another one. I'll show you this. Like I said, this is just afternoon, and we'll. Here's something else, which we did, and this is just a combination of some audio, Photo Story, and Movie Maker here. A lot of people won't know, but that's actually there. A lot of the names which we refer to ourselves, not as Aboriginal, but as Yolngus and Ngapuas and Yamajis and Kuris and Guris and Murrays. That's what we like to refer to ourselves as. All just done free software, but it's it's the first time we actually started to make sentences with the language from the work which we've been doing. I'm sure you could put all of these themes into your own area. Those words just then was, everyone we can sing, everyone we can dance. That's what that... I don't know, like, I listen to our languages and I hear, like, it's the hair and the neck stands up. You hear a rhythm. It's just normal talk is like people are singing. And they are something special, and we don't want to see them lost. And we want everyone... New South Wales, we've got a K-10 syllabus in the schools. We want all the kids speaking Aboriginal. We also get more respect and understanding ourselves if that was to happen, and we wouldn't have these far-fetched views which have, you know, which still exist in the country and that. And it helps all people, all cultures and so forth, because, you know, like I said, it's all part of this home. What else we do is that... Yeah, you can see that, look, we've just found our way of making links with our community via language via technology. I can't explain how important it is in this field to our people. It's unbelievable. If you are, like I said, looking for ways of engaging or are struggling with your engagement with Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people in your own programs, language is our soul. And maybe one way of being able to strengthen that or to help that go that bit further or in your own other field with other people could be using language as a way. And what we also do from there is we hold the only national language and IT conference. Crazy, language and an IT together. It's being held in April 2009 in Melbourne. It was first held in 2007 in Newcastle. We're taking it around the country every 2 years. In Victoria, there's 38 Aboriginal languages, and they are all screaming out for training. They want to be empowered, and unfortunately I'm having to come to Melbourne at the moment once a week to help with these people and that. So it's great. So there's a national conference which we hold. We've also been funded to build, like, if you want to go on the internet and find anything out about Aboriginal languages in Australia, you can't. Oh, you can, but you've got to go to Google. That's the place where you go to, well, I think it's where we go to find everything. We're actually building the National Aboriginal Language website at the moment called Our Languages. The fella before us was talking about Web 2. This is it here now live. It's not official at .net.au. We're going to be launching it at a .com.au address. It's here live now. This has all been built using Joomla. We wanted open source. We wanted to be able to empower ourselves to do the work. We didn't want to hand $30,000 over to someone else to do it all in Dreamweaver or in some other PHP stuff which we can't understand. We have got, there's audio, there's video, there's blogs, there's all of that, there's forums, and if it was WebTube, we've plugged it in. We're going to have a wiki, we're going to have all of that stuff, wiki, and all those type of things and that there. So that's that, and we're working and so forth in that area there as well. You go and you go on the web and you want to find anything about Aboriginal languages, there is just not that one place, and that's where we've been working on. One of the other things that you might find interesting.
Coming and watching our
presentation on modern ways of ancient words. Catch you later. Bye. So he said it. Thanks. We're using animation now as that tool to get to our people, to tell a story. We've got an elder who was shy at coming up and standing at the front of the room to do a welcome to country, or to stand in front of the room and just to tell an important message. So we've actually got these characters as people, as animals, as cartoons and all sorts of things, where I can make an animation and add audio and have the lip sync and everything happening all within a minute. This is special software which is being made available free to a lot of people around Australia. If you're in the school system, you can get it. There's all sorts of stuff happening, but it's a thing called Marvin, and we're involved with it on language side of things. They've set up 12 major partners. There's an organisation who specifically handles all the health stuff, one who handles all the school stuff, one who handles all the cultural stuff, caring for the country. Don't know, but you go to the Marvin website, you can find out more about it. And Marvin. .com.au. We've been the ones who were awarded the national partnership for anything to do with languages. So if anyone goes to anything about languages and they want to do animation, they'll come to us. We will help them out. If it's an Aboriginal community group or whatever, we will actually will empower those people with training and the software and so forth, we hope, to be able to do it themselves. And I made this last night in probably just about 10 minutes, if that. I recorded it, it's just in my microphone on here, got my characters, and yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. But this is another way of being able to use and go that bit further now for being able to get messages across and get attention no matter what it is there. And this is just where we're heading. But oh man, I've never been at a place where we've still been there for 5:05. But that's our website. I don't bring brochures and cards or anything like that. You go to there, and you can access all of our stuff if there's anything, and whatever. If there's any need to follow up, or come back to me, and or any whatever. We're here. Sorry, I haven't yet. I stole them off Google images. Some of them we took ourselves, and I don't know if there's any copyright on them, but let them come get me. Sorry. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, you know where you can nick them from. Yep.
And I'm also wondering then the way in which those sorts of resources can be
cared for
Indigenous people. And I would have thought that may not be most useful to go back to traditional languages perhaps, but to use what might be called Indigenous language, published language.
Yep.
Do you know of any stuff being done around that, or does any of your work feed into
We don't do Aboriginal English ourselves, but there are people who do. There's a lady on the Central Coast in New South Wales who has done a big thing on Aboriginal English. Like a lot of our, they say that Aboriginal people are the least literate mob in the country because of the way they, if they were to take in Aboriginal English as Australia, like I've just used the word mob to describe family. If they recognise me using mob as Aboriginal English, hey, I'm fine, and I get that tick against that. It's all those types of simple things and so forth. Our people are very actually literate. Yeah. It's what you got to watch is of course, yeah. All I can say is that. And I don't know how, because I'm not in that field and have never been involved with that field, but there is protocols and there's consultation, and these people all need to come together and sit down and work out ways and so forth and that, and maybe come up with... they're a good place to actually start. That would be a fantastic place to actually start to work with and help understand and how to go about and how to... connect and the way to connect in that particular areas and their special areas and so forth there.
I've got a question about how the program works with the pictures. So you mentioned that, you know, a lot of the time people are actually going out and taking their own photos and being cool, you know, we've got the word for this, we take the photo and we'll store it. Is there a centralised database of pictures so that when you start a new language, do you have to read
What we do is we actually when people get our software, we actually give them a CD with our images. We share. It's up to them whether they use them or whether they start and do their own and so forth and that. Like, they won't like our pictures of body. They'll want to do their own because they'll want to see their people. Because Aboriginal, we're not just one mob. We're like... Northern Territory mob are different to the desert mob and different to the coastal mob and all that type of stuff and that. Physically different as well. Different colour and so forth. So they'll want to personalise and... Yeah. But we're happy to share ourselves what we can and... Yeah. But it's fun. It's just having... have fun with digital cameras.
With those
I don't know actually. Like I said, it's freely available if you meet a certain criteria, and unless you meet the criteria, I don't know if you're actually able to get the software, or you actually have to deal with in your field, the people who are involved with that. It actually came about to deliver health messages in Northern Territory about 5 or 6 years ago, is what it was developed for. Like, I could pull up a couple of the characters now and go through some of their actions and that. And one lady, she pulls a condom out of here. Like, and I don't mind bringing it up because I actually found a condom in my bag today, in me pack today, and all this type of thing. I think I ain't been a conference where I've been given condoms before, but there's health messages is where it all come about. They wanted to find a way how they could get to the Aboriginal people in Northern Territory about simple things, cleaning your teeth. It just went on from there, and it grew. The software is actually internationally used now. Microsoft is supporting it worldwide. It's being used. China have just signed off in funding them to deliver the software, the ability for schools in over 100,000 schools in China. I think, oh my God, there is an awful lot of people in China, but it's just like that's. Yeah, they've. It's international. It's innovative. Like I can hear in a second right now, pull it up, and have you animated with a character. It's crazy. What? How? Well, you're in control of what the animation does. So if you're and the people who you're working with will determine what the animation is going to create and act, what the actions and what will be said. Yeah, it can be. Yeah. I could have sat over there and just had the kangaroo deliver this. Yeah, if I wanted to, I could do that because I'm a shy fella. I'm more than willing to stop and let yous go, but if yous want to see something which yous aren't going to see over the next 2 days, I'm all for doing that. Like, okay, cool. I'll show yous. I'm all for, like, look, I'd like to have fun and... Like I said, you're lucky I didn't show you my tape measure trick. Hey, it's... This room ain't big enough, okay? Rightio. So, what I'm going to do this in this, I'll do it in a simple way. I've got my digital recorder down there, or I could speak in here and come up with something. I'm just going to find. It's not being used much at the moment. At the moment, it's been the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations are working with the developers behind Marvin to provide it to a very select group of Aboriginal organisations around the country as a means. So we now have this software, my organisation has this software. If you come to me and said, Darren, can you help me create a message in health as such? Well, that is actually a form of income for us because you're not going to get it for nothing. Okay, if you want me to do my work, well, yeah. So what's happening is Dua and Marvin are helping also Aboriginal organisations to get out of this government funding circle and empower us with being able to actually get some of the big dollars which are actually out there in animation. But this, well, you watch. Okay, you seen? Look, I didn't have to do much to make a walk out. I'm going to click this character was made a lot to do with health. Got a sore tummy. Yeah.
My tummy is sore.
If I didn't want to speak, I could actually use in the inbuilt text speech systems, which these things all have and so forth and that. You'll see this fella, you just see him. Oh, hang on. Now, I know if I ate a dragonfly, I'd be...
My tummy is sore.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I could speak into my microphone and actually have my voice say that if I wanted to.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
This stuff is not normally like this easy. It's crazy how You can add, like, I know I'm just showing you some things, but like, if I want to make him fly and all this stuff, if I want to make him speak and...
My tummy is sore.
Yeah, there's the duck just talking, but... yeah, the...